Morning.
Morning.
Nice, wonderful day, isn't it? Amen. Pretty pleasant. It's good to see you. Thanks for being here. Bring in your smiles and joy and spirit of worship. Before we begin worship, look at a few announcements. They're listed. On Mondays from 9 to 12, the ladies officers have a quilt project going on. And that's for all you that know how to quilt and don't know how to quilt. So just show up, because the quilt's being made to be donated to support the veterans. The 18th on Monday at 7 p.m., the ladies auxiliary will meet. Deacons will meet Tuesday the 19th at 7. Choir practice the 20th, 6:30. And Bible study on Thursday the 21st at 10 a.m. We have a card here. It says, thank you so much for the donations of the book bags and the school supplies. These are much appreciated and will greatly come in handy throughout the school year. It means a lot to us to have community support. Thank you again, Love Moss Hill School family. Do we have any other announcements? If not, we'll have our call to worship. The responsive reading in your bulletin. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, and call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, great and small.
Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory.
Father God, I praise and worship you this morning and acknowledge your presence. It's a comfort to know that you're here, and we humble ourselves before you as we focus our attention upon all that you are and what you mean to us all in every day of our lives. Bless our worship as we sing, as we pray, as we read your word and expound upon it. May Jesus be magnified in all we do, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll turn in your hymnals to 225, we're going to sing all three verses of Come, Christians, Join to Sing.
Christ our King. Hallelujah.
may be seated. Dennis Hill has our scripture readings this morning.
The Old Testament reading is Psalm 114. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back. The mountains leaped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. The New Testament reading is Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Word of God from the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Trumpets will sound.
Continue to worship as we pray this morning. Are there any needs you know that we need to remember?
Jeffrey Powell family.
Yes, okay.
Dempsey Hill family.
Okay, Dempsey Hill family.
George Parrott.
George Parrott. Remind us also that on the back of the bulletin there are many names listed as you pray throughout the week to remember these as you pray. Remember our nation, our leaders, leaders of our world. God's been mighty good to us. We certainly need to remember his blessings. So let's take action as we pray.
Father, we come to you with humble hearts. We thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. You're so good to us in ways that we don't even realize. But thank you, thank you, thank you. We ask now that you would be with those that have sickness, people that have losses. Lord, you know their needs. You know their how to comfort them as no one else can. We pray that you do that. Pray that you be with all our brothers and sisters all across the world, whatever is going on in their world, that you will be with them as I know you are. You're good to us, God, and we never can thank you enough. I pray for all your churches, people in your churches, as they worship you, different days, but most of them today. And I pray that you be with all of us as we worship you together. pray that you be with our pastor as he brings our morning message, the message you've given him. And I pray that you be with each and every one, Lord, that as we leave here, we will do your will. Guide us and direct us in all that we do, Lord. In thy precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's turn to page 563 in our hymnals. Stand and sing verses 1 and 3 of Open My Eyes That I May See.
Of your riches and glory, you've poured out to us blessings untold, and we thank you for that. As we worship today, we give back a portion to show our great love for you and to thank you for being so good to us as your children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Stand for the doxology, please. Be seated. The text we'll be using today comes from Judges chapter 6, and I would like to read verses 11 through 21. However, the whole chapter is worthy of reading. You can do that this week. And we'll take a portion of it this morning. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Anybody ever threshed wheat in a wine press? That kind of caught my attention when I read that, you know. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but the Lord is with us. Why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us to the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in strength. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." You ever heard anybody, read about anybody else that responded like that? Who was that? Yeah. I know none of y'all never have responded like that. But Moses, he kind of did the same thing, didn't he? So Gideon replied, well, verse 16, it says, "I will be with you." The Lord said, "I will be with you, and I will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." And Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." So Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from the ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and place them on this rock and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of his staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Now that's some story, isn't it? Yes. We're in a series on God's promises. And I want to call your attention to the promise contained in one verse of last week's text in Psalm 145:18. It goes like this: "The Lord is near to all who call on him, and all who call on him in truth." And this is the promise I want us to consider today. The promise that God is with us. What does it mean? And how does it affect our daily decisions? Most of us would affirm the idea that God is everywhere. We don't question that, maybe. But we do sometimes question the idea that God is with us or God is with me, next to us in our presence, right here, right now, wherever we may be. We sometimes act like we believe that God is everywhere but here. You ever thought that thought? Anybody? Three people. All right. You know, there might be times that we can say, well, I don't feel his presence, and we don't easily see evidence of his presence around us like Gideon, which, you know, it often leads us to neglect his presence. And when we neglect God's presence, we fail to worship him. And when we fail to praise and worship God, we miss out on seeing his promises come alive in our daily lives. I often think, if we really believed that God was present here this morning, how would it affect the way that we worship him? Will we do anything different to acknowledge his presence? Think on that for a bit. But today we'll look at a story from the life of Gideon. From his early days, he would later become judge over Israel, who was considered as the greatest judge in the era of judges. This is surprising because he often comes across as weak and timid and unsure. What made a difference in Gideon's life? It is our topic today, the presence of God. As we begin, it's the time of the judges in Israel's history. There's no king. There's no centralized government. They're basically a confederacy of 12 independent tribes, united only in their faith in the God of Abraham, the one who presented himself to Moses as the great I am. For a number of years, a number of nomadic tribes, including a group called the Midianites, had been invading Israel and depleting their supplies. They were cruel to them, to the extent that some of the Israelites were beginning to seek refuge in caves where they could thresh their grain in secret. This is what Gideon was doing in the wine press. He was trying to thresh his grain in secret to keep it hid from the Midianites. And the angel appeared to him in verse 12 and said, "Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And then he told Gideon that he would be the one to bring Israel to victory against the Midianites. Now, Gideon had his doubts about that. But guess what? It happened. God used Gideon in a great way. God used Gideon in a way that seemed unimaginable to Gideon. Matter of fact, if Gideon would have sat down and made a list of the top 10 things that God wanted him to do, that would not have been on his top 10 list. But God used him, and he used him in a great way, not only to save Israel from an enemy, but to save Israel from themselves, because in the previous years they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And Gideon led them into a new season of obedience to God. And it all began with the angel of the Lord telling a young and frightened man, "The Lord is with you." Now, I want you to know that, according to God's word, that what was true in Gideon's case is also true in your case. The Lord is with you. He's not just everywhere. He's wherever you are with you. We have his word on that, and he has no reason to tell us anything that's not true. Jesus' last words in Matthew 28:22 to his followers after the resurrection and before he sent into heaven were, "I'm with you every day, even until the end of time. Never will I leave you nor forsake you," he tells us. You can count on this. You can experience the reality of his promise every day. Now, this is not something you can always feel. Our emotions can be all over the place, can't they? It's not something that you always can see. Sometimes we're blinded by things in life that really are of no significance. But it is something you can know. John tells us that God has recorded in his word these things so that we can know that God is real and that Jesus is Christ, is God's Son, and he is with us. You can know that God is with you. Now, experience God's presence on a daily basis is really a matter of making it a point to acknowledge his presence. In spite of how you feel, in spite of what circumstances you face, in spite of what's going on in our lives, it's a habit. And learning to develop this habit, I think there's three called permissions that we need to give ourselves. I want to talk about these three permissions this morning. We see them in Gideon's story. Let's look at how they apply to our lives today. The first thing is, number one, it's okay to wonder why. The angel came to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you." And Gideon said, in effect, "Okay, if God is with us, why are things like they are? Why are we suffering? Why are we having to hide out in caves? Why am I having to thresh my grain in the wide press? Why are the miracles that we heard about from long ago, why are they not happening now?" And then he said, "From the look of things, it really looks like you've abandoned us." You ever asked God that before? Sometimes we want to ask the same question. When we look at our culture, why is our culture like it is? Why is our world like it is? And then things happen in our personal lives. Why am I experiencing this now? If God is with me, if God is with us, why is everything in such a mess? Now, the angel didn't scold Gideon for his honesty, but neither did he give an answer to Gideon's question. Instead of answering as to why, he gives Gideon, "Well, here's what's next." In other words, you know all about the problems. You know about everything you say is not going well. Now here's your answer. And he said, "You're about to deliver Israel from the hand of Midian." So it's okay to ask God, "Why don't you do something?" But look, we must be ready for him to say, "You know what? I was about to ask you the same question." And there are multitudes of people who are sitting around complaining about all their problems, and they're asking God to do something about them, when the truth is God is saying, "Why don't you do something about them? You have everything that you need to go forth and to do what I've called you to. I've given you everything that you need to live a life of holiness and obedience. Mighty warrior, why don't you do something about them?" Now, the angel could have said to Gideon, do you want to know why this is happening? Why your people have rebelled. They're worshiping Baal. They've done evil in the sight of the Lord. They brought all this upon themselves. But rather dwelling on Israel's problems from the past, the angel told Gideon, this is what you're going to do next. So remember, it's okay to wonder why, but understand that the response to the questions we have will often be an invitation for us to take action in a direction where God is leading us. So when God calls you to do something, you'll also